Okay, welcome back. If I have said it before, I'll ask you again. If you do nothing else, please just read the headlines at Rents for yourselves. You don't have to read the stories unless you find one you'd like to, but just read the headlines. It'll educate you. Every day, if you read the headlines, you would have a basic working knowledge of the reality that is facing us 25 hours a day. A reality that is really unprecedented. It's never been duplicated before. It probably will never be duplicated again because we will not ever be given a chance as a people to ever, through the ballot box, allegedly, change the status quo. Status quo is that we're in the hands of abject evil, which has no problem killing us and apparently has no problem with World War III. These people are nuts. They continue to do everything they can to provoke Russia, to insult Vladimir Putin, to lie about the situation and gross lies about the situation in Syria. Unbelievable lies. We have created and are funding the so-called rebels who are trying to completely destroy Aleppo. We did that, and now we're bombing the duly elected president, Assad, and his army, which is totally backed by the people, who are trying to recover Aleppo, which is nothing. Nothing. There's nothing left of Aleppo. It's a pile of broken concrete, rebar, bricks, blocks, dust, dirt, filth. That's it. Aleppo is gone. There's nothing there anymore. Look at the pictures. The city has been sacrificed. God knows how many people have as well. So we have a chance right now in this country. We have an opportunity. And if you 95 million people who are out of work and out of the job market, who cannot get work, cannot get a job, even if your life depended on it, and you've tried, if you all vote, 95 million of you, how about half of you? How about 50 million of you voting for the only chance we have? Forget the crap and the controlled press about these women. Oh, he touched me 30 years ago. Oh, he kissed me without my permission 35 years ago. How much more nauseating can it get? The timing, that's the key. Timing, timing. It's all about timing. And this thing was released, and the Republicans knew about it. His own party knew about it, the so-called Trump video. They knew it a month ago. Priebus, that creepy little greasy liar, and Rat Ryan in a class by himself. They all knew. They knew. This is all about timing. They are trying to destroy their party's greatest candidate in my lifetime. The only man who really has a chance, who has the vision to try to take this country back away from the globalist, elite, evil pigs that have taken over our country and the Western world. Nobody in American political history has ever taken on the entire world and national elite like Donald Trump has. Nobody. He's even saying it. He's not hiding the words anymore. It's the international global bankster elite satanic pedophile cartel, and the Clintons certainly are a notable appendage of that, that are running the show. And they will take us to World War III because there's incredible money in it. And as we know, they want to remove 90% of the people from the planet. What quicker way to do it than a thermonuclear exchange? They'll go into their guilt-lined rat holes. Oh, excuse me, rabbit holes, and they'll hide out for a year or two, and then they'll come back out when most of the radiation has subsided to reasonable levels, and they'll try and set their game up again. That's what they'll do. Donald Trump gives us an unprecedented last chance. He's a brave man. Not only that, he's a great leader. Have you ever seen anyone in your lifetime take as much abuse as this man has taken? He's not perfect, but that isn't even the point. Abuse, constant abuse around the clock from all the major media outlets. Not one newspaper in this entire country, the top 100 newspapers, not one of them endorsed Donald Trump. The law of averages tell you immediately that that is a lie, it's contrived, and it's fraud. Nothing new. Look, these contrived attacks that are being thrown at Trump, I really believe are evidence of the amount of fear that we are seeing from the global elite. They're afraid. They're afraid this man might win. They're afraid they might not be able to flip the election, and 95 million people will vote for him. They're afraid of that. That's why they're trying to do everything humanly possible to destroy him. And if this doesn't work, they'll kill him. They kill people. They killed John Kennedy. Ronald Reagan was supposed to die. Senator Paul Wellstone and his wife stood up against Dick Cheney and Bush, killed. How many? Hundreds have died. That's just in this country. Don't discount Donald Trump as being a brave, incredibly strong and resilient man to have put up with this and to have walked into last Sunday's debate, which was supposed to have been a funeral, and turned it into one of the most astonishing political events in American history, period. All right, I'm going to stop talking now because I go on a long time. I hope I'm reflecting the feelings of many of you, because to me it's all pragmatic and logical. I can't see it any other way. With us these first, they've been once or second time they've been together. Professor James Fetzer is standing by. You there, Jim?
I'm here, Jeff.
And Preston James is standing by as well. Preston and Jim are going to be with us. Are you there, Preston?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. Talk a little louder if you can, Preston, and get your volume up there. Very good. Todd, crank him up a little if you can. Okay. I don't know.
Go ahead, Jim. What you're saying, Jeff, about the total domination of the press, which is absolutely unprecedented in American history. It clearly reflects that all the newspapers are getting their information from the AP and Reuters, that Reuters owns the AP, and everything I have been told indicates that the Reuters itself is owned by the Rothschilds. Now, they are very upset with Trump because, of course, they represent the ultimate in globalism and in control they would like of the whole world. Listen to this from John Rappaport, major media build a universe for Hillary. The other day, I wandered over to the New York Times to see what their front page looked like. My, it was another universe. Nothing about the pounding Hillary took in the second debate. Nothing about the latest email leak showing extreme collusion between Hillary's clamp and the mainstream press. Nothing about Bill's rape accusers taking front and center. Nothing about Hillary threatening those accusers. Nothing about Hillary's roles in creating ISIS. Nothing about election pollsters contributing to the Clinton Foundation. Nothing about outrage among FBI agents and DOJ attorneys failure to prosecute Hillary in the AML server, thus allowing her to continue her run for the presidency. Nothing about her failing health. Nothing about polls that show a Hillary lead slanted by oversampling Democrats. Nothing about Hillary hiding out once again and avoiding press in public. It's all about Trump's campaign falling apart, that he's single-handedly destroying the Republican Party, undermining their House and Senate prospects, that her poll numbers are in great shape. It's a travesty, Jeff. It's all propaganda. No news, nothing accurate. It's all false, masquerading as true.
It's even worse than that. You're right. I've got John's excellent article up at Rents as well. You can read it there. This is something we've never seen before and we'll never see again because, as I said, they will never allow a Donald Trump to arise and to challenge them again. It won't happen. It will not happen. Preston, you agree with that?
Absolutely. This is the end for us. What they wanted to do ever since 1913, the banksters have wanted to convert America into a province of the Khazarian Mafia. You know, when the city of London lost all of its countries, you know, there's a few colonies left, but when the colonies...
The empire,
exactly, and it fell down, they figured, well, we're going to have to replace it, so we'll do it with a secret covert empire. So they wanted to work through the financial system, and really, this is a 100-year plan to make America a part of a globalist world network, a new world order system. They've talked about it. They put it in writing. This is not a secret anymore. They're proud of it. They've admitted it's treason. David Rockefeller admitted in his book that he was doing it, and he said, I'm proud of it.
Yes, he did.
So, yes, you're 100% right. This is our last chance. I will say this. If Trump loses, this populism is not going to go away, and there's going to be more civil disorder, and there's going to be several coup d'etats in the military, and there's going to be a hard landing one way or the other. If they can, they'll start World War III, but that may not succeed. The military may rebel. There's going to be a lot of assassinations in D.C. It's going to actually be a total mess.
Yeah. Been going on in the military since the Clintons, and that is the culling of Patriot generals, flag officers. They've pulled them out. They've forced them to retire. They've involved some of them in scandals, so they had to retire. And that doesn't even begin to mention the fact that there are several nuclear weapons that have gone missing, that should never have gone missing, of course. We are absolutely being set up, and if they have to, they will ignite a major war. They've done it before. Nothing stops them. What we're going to do this first half hour is invite David John Oates to join us. David is, of course, one of the most remarkable people on the planet. He has developed and is the man behind reverse speech, one of the most incredible technologies of our time, of any time in point of fact, because it tells you in reverse what the subconscious mind of the individual is really feeling and really saying, regardless of what their forward speech is saying right now. What I'm telling you right now, I firmly believe, and if David were to reverse me, they would probably hear in reverse phrases and sentences and fragments that would back up exactly what I'm telling you in my forward speech. If I were lying, my reverse would expose me as a liar. Now, you're going to hear some examples of reversals of Hillary Clinton. Now, I've asked David to bring them here tonight to share with Jim and Preston and all of you. These are remarkable because her subconscious is sick of her lying, and you're going to hear that reflected. Okay? There's a lot going on here. David, are you there?
Yes, I am, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Say hello to Professor Jim Fetzer. He's standing by.
Yeah, hi,
hey,
Jim,
David.
How are
we
you?
Spoke earlier today, of course.
Very good.
Yes, you did. Synchronicity.
Yeah, you were on. you were on Jim's program. I guess that's great. Okay.
Well, it's independent, Jeff. Well, yeah.
Oh, all right. Very good. Yeah. Preston, do you know David yet?
No, but I follow his stuff, and I still am kind of. At first, I was very skeptical, but after looking at it, I think he's correct, and I'm very shocked that there's a part of the human brain that refuses to be suppressed, and even some of the biggest psychopaths will give themselves away without knowing it.
That's a very interesting observation, a nice way to say it, too, that part of the brain just will not be subverted. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Well, From an evolutionary point of view, Jeff, you have to know the truth in order to take actions that are appropriate to accomplish your goals.
Yeah, the species
so
would die if not.
Disposition to seek the truth, and therefore when you're in a position of denying it, there are forms of revelation into which David is tapped.
What I want to do for everyone listening is to play a little clip today from Donald Trump. This is a minute and a half, and I hope it'll go through without buffering too badly. Donald Trump is saying things that no one would dare say in the past. No one would declare open war, let alone open knowledge of who our real enemies are. Donald Trump has made it quite clear that he has declared personal and patriotic war against the international banking cartel, against the political machine in this country, the establishment, which has exposed itself as being absolutely a monolith, one thing. It is not two things. It is not three things. We don't have a two-party system. We have a one-party system. That's the truth. Donald Trump has exposed all of that. It's astounding. All right, let me see if I can play this now. Here we go.
Failed and corrupt. And when I say corrupt, I'm talking about totally corrupt political establishment with a new government controlled by you, the American people. There is nothing the political establishment will not do, no lie that they won't tell, to hold their prestige and power at your expense. And that's what's been happening. The Washington establishment.
Hang on, let's see if we can pick this up. There we go.
And the financial and media corporations that fund it exist for only one reason: to protect and enrich itself. The establishment has trillions of dollars at stake.
I do. Trillions. What he's saying
in
here,
this election,
I've never heard before.
As an example,
from the mouth of someone at this level.
Just one single trade deal they'd like to pass involves trillions of dollars controlled by many countries, corporations.
Hold on.
And lobbyists. For those who control the levers of power in Washington, and for the global special interest,
global
they partner
special
with
interest.
These people that don't have your good in mind. Our campaign represents a true existential threat, like they haven't seen before.
Okay, he just challenged them, Jim Fetzer, right there.
Yes. This is brilliant. You know, it's part of his feeling unrestrained by the repudiation by so many Republican leaders who represent
global interests.
And Jeff, he's just calling it so clearly, so forcefully. It's impossible for the ordinary man not to understand what he's saying.
It is impossible. Preston, your thoughts on that? I've never heard anything like that from anyone at this level ever, and I never will again. I think this is it. This is the one time you've heard somebody at this level really divest himself of the shackles of having to adhere to his party's routines, regulations, and controls. He has walked away from it, and he is a free man right now. He knows it. If he's going to lose, he's going to lose it his way.
I think there's a little more to it. I think that...
Oh, there's a lot more to it.
Right. I think that he's had... I know for a fact he has some brilliant advisors, and they told him to go into the first debate and allow himself to be abused, and allow himself to be abused somewhat at the second debate, but then let Hillary start the war once, and let those people come after him. And I believe that this use of the word grabbing by the pussy and all this stuff, I believe that's all part of a trap, that they knew this was coming. Trump has excellent intel.
Rope-a-dope.
And I think he knew it was coming.
Rope-a-dope.
Yeah, and I think he let it all happen. And I think he's been ready, holding back. And I think he's letting it fly now. And I think he's. I don't think any of this is done in anger. I don't think any of this is done stupidly. I think it's all a very well-calculated political strategy that makes a lot of sense, and it's a brilliant strategy. And if you look at the numbers, it's really working.
Yeah. I don't believe any of the polls, dear friends. Don't believe any of them, except the few that have a record of honesty, and there aren't many. I think you can figure out who they are. You know, even Charles Krauthammer, whom I thought at one point was kind of coming around, has retreated fully now into the arms of the establishment whores that run the show. Krauthammer, future candidates won't repeat this soap opera. Charles, shame on you. Yes, you can call it a soap opera, but it's far more than that. What you just heard Donald Trump say is unprecedented truth, unprecedented reality, and unprecedented hope for this country. It's not to be dismissed. So what we're going to do now is hear some reversals. We're going to go through the break, Todd, and I think you'll find them to be all basically self-explanatory. David, the maestro, is here to do it. So, David, why don't you go ahead and let's listen to this alleged female and her truth confronting her. It's very interesting.
So where do we start? They're all very interesting and fascinating. Okay, let's start with this one here. Here we go. Here's the forwards.
Over the past year, I've laid out my plans for defeating ISIS. We need to take out their strongholds in Iraq and Syria by intensifying the air campaign and stepping up our support.
And she says here, I'll bring us war.
Over to war.
So that is what we will get if she's in office.
She's almost saying it in a mocking way, too, David. I'll bring us war. She doesn't care. Yeah. This woman is a sociopath, psychopath, a war lover. She has no problem, as we discussed earlier, killing millions of people, presiding over their deaths, ordering their deaths, supplying arms to people who are subhuman. We know that's what was going on with Libya. Yeah, that was good. David sounds good, Todd, but just while he's on, turn Preston and Jim down so we clean up the signal just with David so we can hear it a little bit more clearly. I think that might help. So, gentlemen, just stand by and we'll go through these. Go ahead, David. That was a good starter. I'll bring us war.
Yeah.
How about I'll bring us the end of the world?
Yeah. I think we're going to see these reversals hot up over the remaining three, four weeks we've got left. It's going to get interesting. All right, here we have a classic Hillary Clinton using a word she's used many times in reverse. Here's the fourth.
And you know what? It also matters when he makes fun of people with disabilities. Calls women pigs.
And then she says in reverse, and I'll scam you.
And I'll scam you.
And I'll scam you. And I'll scam you.
That's self-explanatory. Don't need to explain
here
that.
Here she is. Her forward speech is a scam. She's spewing the words that are written for her. They're all designed for public consumption.
Yep. And she's used the word scam. Oh, gee, I don't know. I played it on your show many times on Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
At least a half a dozen times, I think we found it. And here's when she's talking about being president.
Let me start by saying words matter. Words matter when you run for president, and they really matter when you are president.
And she says, but I'm ill.
But I'm ill.
But I'm ill. But I'm ill.
I mean, that's a very important reversal. Goes directly to her health, okay? And,
See, that's her subconscious speaking. But I'm ill, Hillary.
I'm ill.
I'm ill. Remember.
I'm ill. Remember.
Right. Yep. And then, okay, so following along for that reversal, we've got this one.
We did not. In fact, my direction to conduct the thorough investigation was to err on the side of providing anything that could be possibly viewed as work-related.
And she says they deal her Prozac.
They deal her Prozac.
They deal her Prozac. They deal her Prozac.
That and many others, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's the least of her medication sins.
Yeah, let me, on that, hold on, let's hold it right there. Let me bring up Jim and Preston. Preston James, we've talked many times about the medications that this woman somehow is being propped up by, and when her subconscious says, they deal her Prozac, the subconscious is very interesting in the way it phrased that, but yeah, it's right there. It's right there.
Well, modafinil is always a drug of choice for the kinds of problems she has, lack of energy, staying awake, the things she complained about in her emails, plus she had one of her aides inquire about the effects of modafinil. But, you know, they give it to fighter pilots and U.S. Air Force transport pilots on long missions.
Sure.
And bombing missions, because it keeps them awake and it does not have the after effects that amphetamines have. But I guess the sad part is that I don't think it was designed to be taken, you know, in big doses on a daily basis or to be directly IV'd in, you know, into the brain. So if that's what's going on, then her health situation is more serious than what anybody thought.
Very good point. Jim?
Well, I think Dr. Noel has diagnosed these campaign breaks where she's not out there on the stump regularly at this home stretch, which would be the obvious thing to do, as drug holidays, that they find that if they take her off, everything they're shooting her up with for several days at a time, that when they readminister it, she can come out more vigorously, say roughly as she did at the second debate or the first. But it's a short-term solution with long-term risks. They don't know whether this may not aggravate her maladies, which are very substantial, extremely serious, and appear to be either an advanced state of Parkinson's or something called Lewy body protein disease, which is has many of the same symptoms of dizziness, repeated falls and fainting, tremors, memory decline, brain signaling interruption, loss of motor control, problems with sleep, swallowing difficulties, balance and spatial awareness. And the cognitive include hallucinations, delusions, panic attacks, and loss of reading. Sounds like the kind of person we ought to have as our president of the United States.
Oh, perfect. Absolutely perfect. The other issue is, you mentioned she's vanishing. She has two private fundraisers and the debate, which is next Wednesday, on her calendar between now and the election on November the 8th. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. No more public rallies, no more campaign appearances, two fundraisers to try to wring more money out of her backers, and the debate. That's it. Rest of the time, she'll be in bed, getting medicated, and cuddling up with Huma, I guess. Whatever. All right, let's go back to David Oates.
Yeah, basically, yeah. she'll be in intensive care, Jeff, as you're implying.
Yeah.
And, you know, it runs great risk when they put her out in public because she can have her eyes crossing, she can have seizures.
That's right.
Some of these appear to have been taking place even in relation to the second debate.
Exactly. If she went out on the campaign trail like she should, there would be many instances of things between now and Election Day that could do her in. No question about it. So she is hiding from the American public.
She hasn't had a press conference in over a year, Jeff. I mean, it's simply astounding.
Not a real one.
And the media's letting her get away with it because the media is complicit in promoting her, covering her, protecting her, and defending her while slashing attacks on Trump that have no merit.
Absolutely. All right, David, let's move on. Those are very interesting and revealing, and there's some really big ones ahead, too. Go ahead.
Okay, so let me see, where do I go to now? Okay, let's go to this one here. Here, we'll play this forward.
I have spent a very long time, my entire adult life, looking for ways to even the odds, to help people have a chance to get ahead.
Okay, now this is an instance of her own unconscious talking to her conscious, so, or you could say her spirit speaking to her conscious. And it says, oh, be quiet.
Oh, be quiet.
And conscious is saying, Hillary, this is a load of rubbish. Would you just shut up? Okay. So, and we see this again in this reversal here.
But even more important than the history we make tonight is the history we will write together in the years ahead.
And reversal says, be honest, damn you.
Yeah, I understand you.
And that's also her spirit speaking to her, telling her to be honest. And we had another instance of that, if you remember, Jess, be honest you, at the beginning of
that's
the
right.
debate.
Yeah, her, clearly her subconscious, her superconscious, her spirit, whatever you want to call it, her soul, I don't care, is disgusted with her. This is a complete dichotomy of a personality. You could call it multiple personality syndrome if you want, but it's not good. Her subconscious is actually rebelling against the lies she is spewing out in her conscious speech. Amazing.
And this is constant and consistent. I mean, every show I've come on and we've played these type of reversals, they've always been the same message. It's just the same over and over again. It's not just occasional little slip up here or there. It's consistent. And she's definitely scamming the American public. That, as she says, I'll scam you. And she is. She's hiding her illness. She's hiding her criminal actions. She's destroyed 33,000 emails, or how many it was, and that's all part of the scam and the lie. And
it's a big one.
This reversal here probably sums a little bit of it up.
You have to keep working to make things better, even when the odds are long and the opposition is fierce.
She says back was Great Satan.
Great Satan.
Great Satan.
Wow.
Great Satan.
That's about as clear as it gets, David. Yeah, it doesn't get any more. It doesn't get any more clear than that. Every syllable, and even the way she says it. That's her subconscious acknowledging who is her basic controller. I mean, that's it. She is satanically oriented.
Yep, I would agree. Yep. And then we've got this one, which gives us another insight.
And that's the way primaries develop. Whoever it is that is going to, you know, make it through the preliminaries, the debates, the early contests, you're going to keep moving.
And here she says, Hillary's scared.
Hillary's scared.
Hillary's scared. Hillary's scared.
And she is. Part of her is really afraid.
That's fascinating. She said it exactly right. Hillary's, apostrophe S, Hillary's scared.
Yep.
So her subconscious isn't all that confident. I mean, this woman is being propped up by speech writers, script writers, teleprompters, earbuds, drugs, pharmacology, you name it. She's scared. This is not a whole, complete person at all. This is a sum of the parts. Preston James, as a doctor, PhD, understanding all these kinds of things, especially the medication aspect of it, this woman is fragmented. She's fragments held together somehow.
Well, I found it quite interesting that David Oates's interpretations, not only are they crystal clear, but they fit with the behavior that she exhibits. She does not look sure of herself. She responds to minor setbacks with anger. She seems to have only two emotions, fear and anger, which are, you know, two sides of the same coin. And the anger comes out with her as a cockiness or a, you know, a Cheshire cat grin. But I think she's on the ragged edge.
Jim, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I do think her health is deplorable, and they're having to prop her up. They're just trying to drag her over the finish line. As Sherry Edwards has observed, where she's done this bioacoustic study, it appears to her Hillary doesn't actually want the job. She just wants the title. She wants to have been the first woman president of the United States, even if she's incapable of exercising the responsibilities of that position.
You know, that makes sense. So she gets the job. She's in for 6 months. Her health goes. She's debilitated. She dies. She leaves her fortune to her daughter, who she's set up. Chelsea Clinton will be a player in the future. Bill is on the way out. He looks like he has AIDS or something. He doesn't look good at all. So, yeah, I think that's a very important point. Her lust for power will have reached some measure of completion if she can gain the White House. And that will cap a career for her. I think that's what you're suggesting.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. She's always been a power freak, you know, and she loves to exercise her capacity to inflict pain and damage and bring about the deaths of many people. I mean, it was her savage treatment of Gaddafi was a perfect illustration. It's just appalling how many people die when Hillary gets pissed off, including, of course, Julian Assange's attorney winds up in front of a subway in London. The IT guy who worked for the Democratic National Convention and released to Assange the documents about sabotaging Bernie's campaign. Even the guy who served the class action suit on the DNC, they're all dead. And the improbability of them having those relationships and having been by chance is infinitesimal. This is the hand of an evil person exercising control and punishing those who cross her.
I want to remind you again, friends, if you are still undecided, more power to you, but Donald Trump gives literally an unprecedented, brave, heroic effort on our behalf right now to lead us to a position of being able to recover at least a measure of our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our God-given right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This guy is it. Warts and all. It doesn't matter to me. He's a leader. He's not the same man he was 11 years ago, neither am I. You grow. You mature.
You're right. Warts and all. I mean to qualify some of the Hillary. See, they're going over and over about all these women who complain about his sexual advances, and the mistake he's making, I think, is denying them. They're too many. They're too detailed. He should just accept, as he did at one point in time, that those were the way he was at that point in time, that he's apologetic, but go on the tack on Hillary, because the real issues have nothing to do with his behavior, however caddish it may have been in the past.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with his saying mean things. It has to do with her actions with the Clinton Foundation, with Libya, with Syria, with abusing the office of the Secretary of State.
Threatening and brutalizing the victims of her alleged husband. Come on, how low does it go? And she's women and family, women and children. No, doesn't work. The record is the opposite of that.
You're going to love this one. You know how Hillary's been going on about implying that Trump has some kind of business connections with Putin and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Which are non-existent, but get this, WikiLeaks has just dropped a bombshell that John Podesta has 75,000 shares in a Putin-connected energy company.
I got it. So, he bought into the energy company that's the company that got 20% of our uranium. Podesta profited by that, and a big chunk of it, a fee, went to the Clinton Foundation. This is as dirty as it gets, Jim.
And these Podesta emails are turning out to be devastating because they reflect, for example, that Hillary has contempt for everyday Americans. She despises ordinary Americans, and she's trying to compensate for it. And look what a classic attack it is to assail your opponent for those offenses of which you yourself are guilty. I mean, it's so confusing.
Reverse
Podesta
projection.
Has all these commercial ties with Russia, so attack Trump for committing that offense when it's true of you and false of him.
Misdirection, reverse projection, that's textbook stuff, isn't it, Preston? A textbook.
Absolutely it is.
Okay, let's go back to David and listen to some more reversals from Hillary Rod Ham Clinton. Go ahead, David.
Okay. Well, actually, they're the only ones on Hillary I got together. You told me to get five or ten, so I got
a few. Fine.
I got so that was eight.
Okay.
Here's considering the conversation that just happened, here's an appropriate one on Trump. This is not the bombshell one. This is just another one. So listen to this.
Could also be China. Could also be lots of other people. It also could be somebody sitting on their bed that weighs 400 pounds, okay? You don't know who broke in to DNC. But what did we learn with DNC?
He says, see all the dead men.
See all the dead men.
See all the dead men.
There you go.
See all the dead men.
Wow.
Right fits in with what you're talking about, Jim.
Yeah. This is really incredible. Now, Donald Trump, as we all know, was the victim of an attempted assassination. What's it, 2.5 months ago now? Some 10 weeks? I don't know, something like that. At Trump Tower, when the caravan bringing him back to his residence was due within minutes, the Secret Service had the front cordoned off, as they always do, and they had at least a few agents inside. One of the agents inside saw a man trying to make it over to the service elevator, and the agent grabbed this guy, patted him down, and found a silencer and a Glock. And the Glock turns out to have no serial number stamped on the frame. In other words, that was made by Gaston Glock and sold to Black Ops in whatever government he was working with. These are assassination weapons. So they took the guy down to the nearest precinct in New York, fingerprinted him, and it turns out the prints come back to a dead FBI agent who died in, I think, 2007. Well, unfortunately for the FBI, this is their program of sheep-dipping agents to make them into wet ops people, assassins. That print came back, and the cover was blown. This wouldn't be known to any of us if it weren't apparently for one of the New York City policemen who is a pro-Trump supporter in that precinct house. He released the picture and the story, and we have never heard another word about the assassin, the would-be assassin, Barry Lee Bush. He vanished. Now, that's just the one that we know about. Then there was a 19-year-old kid in Las Vegas who grabbed the cop's gun and said, I'm going to kill Trump. Well, mind control, probably. There are other operations. The establishment, the international global elite, have made it clear, and Trump has declared war on them. Make no mistake about that. They've made it clear that they will not tolerate this man becoming president. That means they are planning to kill him. Now, I'm editorializing a little bit here, but I think I have logic and pragmatism on my side. Donald Trump, in his subconscious reversals, has said something that is absolutely shocking, very sad, and there are a couple of ways to interpret it. But go ahead and play it, David, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay, this reversal has caused the most controversy in the Wall Street circles that I've seen for probably over a year. It's been tweeted and retweeted and discussed and dissected and anyway, so here we go. So here's the forwards.
You have some great people. Sean Hannity is a great, great person.
Okay, this is when he was on the O'Reilly Factor 2 days ago. And I'm running the tape in reverse, and I hear this really clear phrase, clear as day, and I shall be killed.
And I shall be killed.
And I shall be killed. And I shall be killed.
I mean, what do you say? I emailed it to you urgently, Jeff, as you know.
Yeah.
And it's a concerning reversal.
Well, no question about what he said. That's what he said. Now, there may be two ways to interpret this. I don't know. You're the master. One could be that he is subconsciously, and this would make sense, his spirit, his soul, connected to the universal consciousness. We're all one. He's tapped into the universal mind, and he's reading from his subconscious, and there's no forward or reverse with that in terms of time. You read it all. You can read it. He's reading ahead, in other words, and I shall be killed. Or he's pondering and musing in his subconscious mind. I shall be killed if I continue doing this, that kind of thing. So I don't know which is correct. But it's a very disconcerting and unnerving thing, which goes hand in hand with the attempt already to kill him once at Trump Tower. What do you think, David? Is he into the collective unconscious from his subconscious mind, or is this something else?
Well, it's a tough call. It's a straight what I call first level reversal. It's straightforward English, so it's his conscious thoughts. He could be thinking, look, I'm walking very, very dangerous grounds here. They're going to kill me. It could be a transient thought like that, okay? Or he could be tapping into the collective unconscious and predicting his own death, and that worries me a lot. It could also be metaphoric. He's going to get slaughtered in the elections. I mean, you know, I hope that's not it either.
Yeah, but we talked about that. I'm going to get killed in the vote. Yeah. I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose, right.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's two or three different ways you can interpret it, but it just jumped up out of the gibberish very plain.
Play it one more time, please, David.
Yep, sure. So here's the Fords.
You have some great people. Sean Hannity is a great, great person.
And here's the reversal.
And I shall be killed.
And I shall be killed.
Yep.
And I shall be killed.
There it is.
No arguing what he's saying. Preston James, your initial reaction to that?
Well, it could easily be just a metaphor that he's when he gets on Sean Hannity's show, it's always how the political race is coming, and it's concerning politics. And I believe it was more oriented to the political race, implying that what I've been doing lately, I'm going to get killed. I got to make a change in direction.
Right.
I probably see it differently.
No, that's one of the ways we look at it.
No, that's possible. Yeah.
Yep. Jim Fetzer, your thoughts? You've heard this a couple of times now.
Oh, I think he's subconsciously aware of the high risk of his activity. There have already been attempted assassinations. As you observed, that weapon was manufactured without a serial number, meaning it was intended for an assassin. He had a special silencer. His identity was that of a man who'd been dead for years. There's no doubt that that was an assassination setup. And I think he knows that the prospect of him coming through this alive is very low, actually. Yeah. I mean, we've had high-level elitists, you know, power brokers talking about how he would never be allowed to become president. Well, one historical commentator said if Trump were to become president, the ramifications would be as great as when FDR introduced the New Deal. They don't want it. It threatens their security. It threatens their income. It threatens their power. He has, by his stunning, courageous effort, actually provided an X-ray, as it were, of the corruption of the American political system, indeed of the world, because it's him against the totality of it. It's never been more of a David and Goliath situation in American political history, ever.
Agreed. Preston?
Well, it's hard to know exactly what his mood was, but I know when he gets on, Sean Hannity and gets into political situations that he really gets agitated, and you can just see sometimes he's angry at the way things have been played out. And I think he may have been thinking that if I continue on this, I'm just going to get killed. So I've got to come here and get help from Sean. I've got to fire up my supporters. I've got to start getting, some deep support.
Let me ask
there
this.
Clearly is there clearly is the ambiguity in the phrase of being killed politically, being killed physically. I must say, I have been watching so many different shows on so many different channels, but especially Fox versus MSNBC. Sean Hannity, of whom I've not been a great fan in the past, has been more objective and fair and balanced, to quote their own phrase, than any other commentator on any of the channels, in my judgment. I'm just astonished at his equanimity and even-handedness. Really, I'm impressed. He's made me a big fan.
He deserves a Pulitzer. I completely agree. Especially working in the environment that he's in. He knows he's probably going to be out if Hillary wins. He may not be out. They'll keep him on as a token, but it's going to be
tough. I'm convinced, Jeff, that Roger Ailes, whose proclivities for taking sexual advantage of the women under his control, was taken out deliberately by Murdoch because the whole channel was too one-sidedly in favor of Trump, and the Murdoch didn't want that, so he put in two of his sons? I mean, two of his most trusted employee subordinates to manage Fox, and it's definitely not as dedicated to supporting Trump as it was in the past. And I don't mean they aren't being, taking into account his flaws, because he does have these serious shortcomings. But what was occurring to me, Jeff, he's getting these staggeringly large crowds now. Every one of us has our own human failings, and I think it makes him much more human and accessible to realize this rich, powerful guy still has his human failings. He has this, this macho complex. He's the classic male chauvinist pig, but people can forgive that because he cares more about the issues that matter to the people than he does about maintaining his, a certain aura or opinion. But it is his greatest vulnerability that he's so self-conscious about his own personal image that he responds. Preston has often talked about how they profile a candidate. Their profiling of Trump obviously indicated he was thin-skinned, especially about being attacked in certain issues like this sexual improprieties, where he has a huge record, it turns out. And he should simply accept it, allow it. That's him. He's flawed. And if you prefer to vote against him rather than Hillary Clinton for her criminal activities or her vicious enterprise or scamming of the people of Haiti, for example, for the benefit of friends of Bill, you can go through this vast list of about 12 major atrocities attributed to Hillary Clinton. You got to balance it. Is that worse than his coming on to a lot of women? Because,
well, as he said, Jim, he said, "What have you got to lose?" to the American people. What have you got to lose? Make a change. What have you got to lose? Nothing. You keep the Clinton, Obama, Bush dynasties in power, we're done. We've definitely lost there. It's quite an amazing thing to consider and to try to read where it's going. We'll talk more when we come back. David Oates, thank you for being here tonight. Thanks for playing those reversals.
No worries, Jeff.
We'll talk soon.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, good night.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Jeff. Good night. Bye-bye.
All right, we'll be right back with Preston and Jim in just a few minutes as we carry on tonight.